Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today, coming to you from Carson City in the state capitol. On the broadcast today, Russell Rowe, Mary Lau, and Elisa Cafferata for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
All systems check. All right, Sam, let's go check out some D&D roof.
Hey, Ken. From up here, you can really tell the difference a quality D&D roof makes.
You're right, Sam. With our experience, knowledge, and staff, nothing compares to a D&D roof.
Hey, look down there. It's our D&D roofing crew.
I'll bank the plane so we can get a closer look. Sam! You watch your company's bottom line, and I'll cover the top of it.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Chan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Chan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Carson City. We're in the Capitol in the old Supreme Court, and we are joined by a great Power Pundit panel. It's an all-pundit show with Mary Lau, President and CEO of the Retail Association of Nevada, Russell Rowe of the Rowe Law Group, and Elisa Cafferata, principal with Cafferata & Company. Pleasure to have you all here. So I guess after last week, the question of the day is, who's going to get indicted this week?
Okay, we're not supposed to engage in wars and rumors of wars. Who knows?
But what did you think of the resignation of Mike Sprinkle? Did that surprise you? Does anything surprise us anymore?
Yeah, no, it's like I've been around forever. No, nothing surprises me. But I think the resignation of Mike Sprinkle proves that the system they put in place works, because, and it's an opinion only, and if anybody on the panel knows more than I do, you're allowed to contact this hotline anonymously and stuff, but I'm assuming then the person who's charged, let's say I'm charging you, then at some point in time, you're gonna get a phone call or some sort of an approach that says, here's what's against you. Here's the paperwork, here's everything. What do you wanna do about it? Shall we fight it? Are you going to fight it? Are you gonna do this? You're gonna do that? And I think the evidence was so far overwhelming that Sprinkle decided to just resign. And that all you're left is speculation at this point, but it proves that it worked. The other incidences and, embezzling out of your campaign funds, that's a different animal. And, there's no comparison between Calvin and Sprinkle, but in case of, I'll use hashtag me too, it's become popular now, it worked.
Elisa, obviously Mike Sprinkle was heavily involved in healthcare issues.
Yes.
They named it Sprinkle Care after him. Who do you see picking up the pieces and moving forward with this now?
I know they're having some discussions about how that committee moves forward. They've actually put a couple of hearings on, or rescheduled a couple of hearings so that they could get new leadership in place. I've heard a couple of names, but I've really decided in the last week that adding to all those rumors is really not helping the conversation, and I'm a little more focused on the women's health care hearings that we have today on the Senate side. So I think they'll get it figured out once they get the appointment to fill that position. Then they'll see that person's strengths and be able to plug them into the system.
We'll come back to that. But I just wanted to hit another couple of issues that have hit the news here. One is that corporate raider Carl Icahn has bought up nearly 20% of the shares of Caesars Entertainment, demanded seats on the board, and thinks the company should be broken up and sold. Your thoughts on that, Russ?
Yeah, it's a bit concerning. I think we've talked about this before, Sam. There's a lot of benefit to having consolidated companies on Las Vegas Boulevard and being able to leverage assets and reinvent itself when the city needs to be reinvented and bring those resources to bear. If a corporate raider comes in for the sole purpose of pulling money out of a company and breaking it up, I'm not sure that's the best thing for the city. Then again, there's a lot of individual properties within Caesars that have really gone down. Some of those properties are in such bad condition that it's very difficult for someone to come in and buy them just because they're going to have to drop 10, 20, 30 million just on tenant improvements alone to try to get those up to par. That's just not a good thing for a resort community to be facing.
The other thing is that it's been very interesting over the last couple of years is that Eldorado Resorts, which started out as the Eldorado, one property in Reno, then became three properties, is now, I believe, the third largest regional gaming company. Every time that there's a discussion about properties being available on the Las Vegas Strip, Eldorado Resorts' name comes up. And one of the points is that they would not want to just buy one property, they would need to buy multiple properties to be able to serve their customer base. Do you agree with that thinking?
Yeah, well, to some extent. I mean, the regional gaming operators, especially those with local resorts, you know, neighborhood casinos in Las Vegas, they're always looking at entering the market on Las Vegas Boulevard. I'm not so sure whether it's an Eldorado or a Boyd or a Stations necessarily needs to buy more than one Las Vegas Boulevard asset to be relevant, given the other properties that they have. But I think it's a good thing for those companies to get a footprint on Las Vegas Boulevard and broaden their base. I think that's good for the Strip overall.
And Mary, the talk now is, over the last week or so, has been the MGM with their stock price. Maybe in a position for somebody to come in and take that
over. Yeah, MGM is vulnerable to a takeover because of they're leveraged, you know, and what they've got outstanding and stuff. But there's also a gentleman out of, I believe, Israel now that's coming in and buying up some strip property that
opposite Mandalay Bay.
Yeah, and that, ironically, we were just in last weekend, or not this media, but before that, talking about that stuff needs to go because it looks like junk, and now that's going. So it'll be interesting. We were talking before the show on how Wynn bought all, or MGM bought all the Wynn properties and stuff, so it's vulnerable to a takeover and then separation of that into different areas too. So it's in flux, and Vegas is growing again. You've got the Sphere coming in, you've got Resort Worlds going, SLS is finally seeming to get things together, and I don't know. I think it's another exciting time.
It is, but actually what's just as interesting to me, speaking of El Dorado, is what's going to happen with the Reno gaming market? Is it going to come back? Will there be reinvestment here? Will there be a continuation of transitioning hotels to residential condominiums? I think it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Personally, I think those days are gone. I think that the Reno gaming market, or I should say the tourism market, because the whole industry has changed from just gaming, even though the numbers for gaming are much higher, around 60% for the Northern Nevada markets versus 30% or so in Las Vegas. But Grand Sierra, the Eldorado has 4,000 rooms in downtown Reno. 500 of those rooms are being used by employees of Tesla. And Atlantis and Peppermill seem to be thriving. And if they expand the convention center, I think that you're going to see other gaming companies from Southern Nevada coming into the market to be named later.
More growth for Reno.
I think so. Like we need it. Let's take a break more when we come back.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully's Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Yeah.
Ahern Rentals began as Signal Gas Station on Las Vegas Boulevard. Founder John Ahern grew the business by offering rentals. His son Don built on John's legacy, growing Ahern Rentals into the largest independently owned American rental company with 89 locations in 30 states. Don also brought his experience and vision to equipment manufacturing with Extreme Manufacturing and Snorkel. Today, Ahern Rentals continues to bring its family values to a new generation. Learn more at ahern.com.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines, just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're coming to you from Carson City, and we're with Russell Rowe, Mary Lau, and Lisa Cafferata. Lisa, women's health issues are very important to you, so what are you working on at this point with all these bills? As we're taping this, this is the Monday when the bills are coming out.
Right, so we've got a bill that deals with family planning in Nevada. It's not quite as glamorous as new properties on the Strip, but in terms of, you know, helping everyday Nevada families being able to access family planning for women who are low income really makes a significant difference in their life. We know it helps them, you know, get the education they want or keep their jobs. So it's really a great bread and butter issue that we're working on. And then we also have the Trust Women Act, which is basically going to clean up our statutes so that they reflect the current legal and medical practice around abortion care in Nevada. So those are two really important bills that deliver on some important promises that the governor made during the campaign.
And, you know, one of the most important things for all three of you is the ability to count in terms of votes. Do you feel now with the makeup of the legislature and a Democratic governor that you're going to have an easier time this session?
You know, I have always worked very hard to get bipartisan support, and the family planning bill that we had last session passed with both Republican and Democratic votes, so I think women's health care is a bipartisan issue.
Mary, your thoughts?
Good answer.
I don't know. I mean, I'll wait and see what the language looks like and everything else, because I have very deep personal opinions on this, so that... that exceeds some of Elise's philosophies and stuff. So, you know, I don't think abortion's a family planning. You know, it just shouldn't be used as birth control. But I mean, it just, we can get into the whole subject of that. And that's personal for me, because when I was younger, I was forced into one. So, you know, I don't need to go there.
Okay. Right, and just to clarify, we have never classified abortion as family planning. It's a specific type of health care that should be available for the women who choose it. And the question of coercion is going to come up in the hearing today, I know, because our opponents consistently bring up this argument. And I am sorry to hear about your experience, and I don't think women should be coerced into either choice, not having an abortion if they really want it, or ever having to have one. And so I'm really sorry that happened to you. And okay. I understand your position.
Live.
Let's take a break and we'll be right back.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. At Design Outdoor, we specialize in all hardscapes, pavers, and walls you'll need for everything, from wonderful small yards to full-blown outdoor living. And we only refer the best contractors to make your vision a reality. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and because I represent men in all family law matters, women often call me gender traitor, woman hater, and even disgusting. So why represent men and target myself with these offensive monikers? It's simple. Children with fathers in their lives are 6 times less likely to drop out of school, 15 times less likely to go to prison, and 5 times less likely to commit suicide. So ladies, you can hate me, but please love your children more than you hate their fathers.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take an Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have an all-pundit show going with Russell Rowe, Mary Lau, and Lisa Caffarata. Russell, what bills are you looking at to drop that are going to occur today that will cause you consternation or pleasure?
That's a long list.
Hold on.
Sam.
Speak into the microphone.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, obviously there's some significant bills around minimum wage that are expecting to come out, and to see where that's going to go and how that's going to be handled. That'll, I think, be a significant issue to look at. There's, frankly, I'm a little surprised about how far we are along and waiting for so many bills to come out. But then when you go back and look at other sessions, it seems like this occurs every session. So I shouldn't be surprised, right, after we've done this for so long. But I don't know if there's an intentional effort to wait for so many bills to come out, and then, you know, as just an inherent mechanism to slow the process, and then really the important stuff rises up and gets done, and you don't waste so much time with smaller bills. But there does seem to be, I don't know, it seems a little different. Maybe it's all the resignations that caused the changes.
Right. But, yeah. And I've gotten all the publicity. Interesting, Kentucky has a minimum wage right now of $6.50 an hour. Mm-hmm. So when we're talking about minimum wages here, it seems kind of interesting. Where does gaming feel that the minimum wage, if it is going to get a raise, and it seems it's going to get a raise, where would they be comfortable with that landing?
I think they would be comfortable with a process that allows the gradual increase of the minimum wage. I think most businesses want to have that ability to predict and prepare and plan for it. Having the tip credit remain part of the legislation is important. Healthcare is, you know, all those types of provisions need to be built into it. I honestly think minimum wage is going to be anticlimactic this session. I think there's an understanding that there's needs to be a path forward, and that there's general agreement on a gradual increase to a certain number. What that number is going to be, somewhere between 12 and 15 probably is my guess.
You know, Mary, it was interesting. I had a package shipped to my local Walmart the other day. Went in, and instead of collecting it in the back room as you used to do, you now go scan your barcode, and this giant machine actually delivers your package
right
to you. So it seems like automation is already moving in to areas that where done by workers before. So are we seeing, because of the effects of these minimum wage increases across the country, that people are going to be not necessarily removed from jobs, but moved around in terms of jobs?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's a direct impact of minimum wage, because it costs a dollar or two to have that little piece of equipment deliver you your package and stuff. But I think it's a sense of automation is changing in all areas. We even have some automated gaming now, mm-hmm. and we're going into video gaming and stuff like this. So the whole scope, the whole economy, the whole technology of our world is changing. I would say 5 to 7 years from now, we won't even know, you know, we'll laugh about what we were talking about today as thinking we're on the cutting edge, because it's changing so rapidly that it is going to eliminate a lot of those jobs. I mean, you can call your grocery store, you can have it automated, dropped off, you can have it at the back of the, when you drive through that, you just pop your trunk, they drop it in, you can shop and go where you bring your own cart, your container in, bags and stuff, and scan while you're doing it, and then take your phone and check out, Apple Pay kind of stuff. So it's going to be amazing, and those jobs aren't going to be available.
But there is an opportunity to create new
Absolutely.
Jobs, and just mm-hmm. having the opportunity to represent Tesla and work with them on their K-12 education programming around robotics that blends into the workforce development training that with TMCC and
yeah,
broader
institutions.
Yeah, somebody's
got to fix the robots.
Well, not repair, software design. I mean, there's a whole slew of jobs that come in that are created as a result of it as well. It's just a question of whether we're going to train our workforce for that and provide those kind of opportunities. I think that's one of the areas the governor's focused on is CTE. Classes and at the high school level, and then growing into college.
And the other thing is, the industry wants to change the view. For example, auto repair, that we're struggling in both Las Vegas and Reno as far as auto mechanics go, and they want to change the impression of it's not a grease monkey anymore, it's a computer technician.
It is, absolutely, and especially as you get into electric vehicles, the repairs are just completely different than what they used to be in your traditional internal combustion engine, right? There's just not that much to repair anymore.
Yeah, you can't. You cannot be a shade tree mechanic anymore.
No.
It's all ASAE certified.
That's right. Correct.
I want to come back to Tesla in a moment, but I wanted to get Lisa's take on the minimum wage and where you think that's going to land.
I do think it is kind of a moving target. If we had just left the bill that was passed last session, there would be a minimum wage up to $14 an hour going to the ballot. And so some of the negotiation is, do we sort of come in and look at that? I think especially in light of some of the other initiatives like earned paid sick days, which are also a very high priority. There's the discussion at both the federal and the state level. So I think the governor's looking at how do you put all of the pieces together in a way that helps Nevada families and is doable for Nevada businesses.
And how do you get it out of the Constitution?
Yeah.
You
yeah.
gotta get that out
no more ballot measures.
So
work
you're
things
free.
Out through our yeah. legislative process.
But at this point in time, and I'm directing this to you, Lisa, uh-huh. With 6,000 people back to moving to Las Vegas every month, full employment, close to 3% unemployment rate in Reno, is minimum wage even relevant at this point for the next 5 years?
Well, I think it is, because if you look at the people who do make minimum wage, the vast majority of them are women, often single head of household. So it's significant, because you can't just look at that one piece of economic data. You have to look at how those families are managing. And in terms of employment, you know, it goes back to this discussion we're having about automation, offshoring, you know, the skill level. We're doing great. We're making great investments in teaching young people. The real place we're going to have a challenge is reskilling the workforce, people who have jobs now that are going to be displaced. And there are some bills over there to allow for training for reskilling existing workers, but we're really going to have to up our efforts for that.
Last word on this topic, Mary.
Well, I'm just listening to, at least talking, because we're having to find names for this now. Reskilling. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, we're moving so rapidly, and again, back to earlier comments on technology, that we're having to combine words, create words, and look at what we're doing and reskilling. I love that word.
It's a whole new industry right there.
There you go.
Verbiage. Right. Mm-hmm. So let's talk Tesla. Okay. So the word this week is that there's the potential for them to actually manufacture SUVs in Nevada at the Gigafactory. Can you throw any additional light onto that?
Well, that actually came out a few weeks ago on their last earnings call, where Elon Musk mentioned there the expectation is that Model Y will be built in Nevada next to the Gigafactory. There's some moving parts into that and into how that decision will be made and timing. But I'm a believer that Nevada will be an auto manufacturing state, which is tremendous. It'll happen to be on electric vehicles, which is even more wonderful because, look, Nevada has an opportunity to be a world leader in a completely new technology as the world transforms to electrification of the entire transportation system. And when it comes to job training, creating new skills, education, these types of transformations are going to impact not just the auto industry, but impact our entire economy. And we have a real opportunity to do something special in this state.
The only thing that scares me is that my car is going to tell me that I left my sandwich in the refrigerator because they're talking to each other. Yeah. Did you want a quick last word?
No, I want a quick question. Next to the Gigafactory, does that mean that it might be another factory built?
Well, yeah, just good question, right? I mean, it could be, the Gigafactory is only about a third complete right now and already producing far beyond what the expectations were at a fully built out facility when they first designed it. So yeah, I think there's gonna have to be an additional facility right next door, which makes total sense logistically, right? Rather than having to transport batteries across the country to wherever you build the factory. You know, we'll see how that builds out. It also depends on infrastructure in Northern Nevada, and you know, and whether the community wants to have more jobs.
And that's where we have to leave it. Oh, food for thought. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
On our next broadcast, we're talking water with State Senator Pete Goicoechea. We'll see you then.